This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. The seventh right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that his judgment is accepted in all matters without any resistance. That his judgment is accepted, must be accepted in all matters without any resistance in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, no believer, neither man nor woman, has a right when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger decide a matter to have a choice in their matter, in the matter at issue. To have any choice in the matter which has been decided upon. Any choice in their matter in issue. And whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger has gone astray into manifest error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed all doors to personal opinions and differences of opinion when it comes to the decisions of Rasulullah in any matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized that this is His ruling to emphasize the position of Rasulullah and to support His authority. This is not oppression, this is not blind obedience, but the basic requirement of having accepted that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is guided by him in all matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this very clearly, that he says, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own volition. He does not speak of his own desire. It is only the wahi, it is only an inspiration that is inspired. It is only the wahi, the revelation that has been revealed to him. Therefore, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rules in a matter, that ruling we know and we believe, and this is our aqidah and our faith, that ruling is guided by Allah. Anyone who accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his Rabb, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Rasul of Allah and the recipient of wahi will automatically accept his rulings without any question, because he understands who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. This is a sign of obedience with understanding, not blind obedience. The one who does not obey is the one who is blind, because he doesn't understand the fundamental principle of Islam, the declaration of faith itself, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. To accept the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without question is logical, reasonable, and the sign of intelligence and faith. Intelligence and faith are not mutually exclusive in Islam. In any situation, be it religion, your career, marriage, culture, yourself in terms of self-confidence or any other aspect of life, nothing can be achieved by those who are in perpetual doubt. A firm conviction that is free from doubt is the basis of all self-confidence. Dithering doubters are too caught up in their own to be or not to be arguments to ever make an impact or to take any decisive action in life. They lose all opportunities, often to those who are not as talented as they are, only because the other person is not wallowing in self-doubt. Islam does not prevent us from asking questions. Islam, as a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to think and reflect and ask. But once that is done and we have satisfied ourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that those who are successful are the ones who believed and therefore and thereafter did not doubt. Only those are successful. Only those are successful who believed and therefore didn't doubt. And thereafter didn't doubt. That is a question which we must therefore ask ourselves and say, do I still have doubts about Allah, about His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, about my meeting with Him on the Day of Judgment, about Yawmul Akhirah, do I still have doubts? Because if I still have doubts, then I must check my own iman, my own faith, because why do I have doubts? The answer is not academic, but fundamental and critical to our everlasting life. Let us see what our lives say about our faith. Because when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not our tongues which will speak, but our body and its parts which will bear witness to what we made them do. Let us repent and change our lives and take the toxicity out right away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Day of Judgment, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. He said, on this day, we shall seal up their mouths and their hands will speak to us and their legs will bear witness to what they used to earn. About those who came to the faith and remained steadfast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah said, only those are believers. Only those are the believers who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thereafter did not doubt. And they afterwards they did not doubt. But they strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those indeed are the truthful people. I suggest that we therefore settle these questions for ourselves. For example, settle the question, are we going to die? Are we going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if so, what in our lives is proof of that belief? These may sound like stupid questions. Who will say I won't die? But if I really believe that I'm going to die, if I really believe that I can die at any minute, including now, then obviously this belief must be reflected in my speech and actions. Because if I believe that I'm going to die any moment, then how can I spend even an instant in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because I can die in that state of disobedience, and then of course we know that we will be resurrected in the state that we died in. So why we must ask ourselves and say, what in our lives must change if this most critical meeting, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be good? Let us look at our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ordered and said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah said in Surah Al-Hashr, and whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. And whatsoever he forbids you from, stay away from it, abstain from it, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His displeasure. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. This blanket authority to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rule anything he wished, and an admonition to us to accept it without question. This is a blanket authority to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is evidence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was divinely guided, and that what he ruled was based on revelation to him, which we know as the Wahi Ghair Matlu', which we know as the Hadith. This is one of the many ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed His trust in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ordered us to do likewise. I quoted the ayah earlier of Surah Al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to unquestioningly accept His rulings in all matters and promised His punishment for those who do not accept. Allah said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But know by your Rabb, Allah is taking an oath by Himself, Allah says, no, but know by your Rabb, meaning by himself, Jalla Jalalu. They shall not be deemed to be believers. They will not be called people of faith unless they accept you, meaning Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as judge in their disputes, and then find even in their hearts no adverse feeling against what you decided, but surrender to it in complete submission. Finally, in one of the most powerful ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself and said that the condition of being and remaining Muslim is to accept the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only without question, but with complete submission in the heart. Now that this is the ayah which I mentioned to you just now. It must be noted that though the usual rule in Islam is that you are not culpable until you speak or act, in the case of Rasulullah ﷺ and his decisions and rulings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that one must not only accept his decisions and not speak or act against them, but one must not even have any feelings or thoughts against them or feel any dislike or resistance towards them in the heart. Feelings are the basis of actions, and actions get results in this life and the next. And that is why congruence between thought, emotion, speech and action is critical to success. Lack of congruence can be confusion or hypocrisy, and always results in a loss of credibility and trust. Credibility falls through the gap between talk and walk. Congruence begins with clarity of belief, that is thought and feelings, and so the emphasis on getting that clear with respect to the decisions and rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a Muslim continues to doubt and resent something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself and declared that such people lack faith, have no faith. What can be more serious than that? This is the reason why it is necessary to learn about Rasulullah ﷺ and his rights on us, because quite literally it spells the difference between Islam and Kufr. Rasulullah ﷺ was the first standard bearer of Islam. We, his Ummah, have the responsibility to carry the standard of Islam forward in our world and show people how the way of Islam will lead to a society based on personal and collective accountability to the one from whom nothing is hidden. A society where justice, compassion and mercy are the three foundational principles on which is built the architecture of a society that treasures equality, kindness, contribution and standing up for the rights of others, especially the voiceless and less powerful, to stand against injustice and oppression even when that may not affect them. This is a crying need of the hour in our world, where it's all about power and delivering what the billionaires want. Politicians will deal with the devil themselves if they need to. Democracy and human rights are window dressing, as is climate change, global warming, at all. They talk about this stuff, but they do nothing to stop wars, to stop burning fossil fuel, or to eliminate poverty. We are standing on top of Seneca's cliff and seem to be on the way down. We have been raised for too long on concepts of conquering and exploiting and using the earth and its inhabitants to our advantage without giving anything back. This is completely against Islam. We need drastic action, which is to change the way we think, thanks to how we have been raised, with our desires as the supreme being to which everything else, including our lives, are subservient. We live in a world based on lies to the extent that there is a total breakdown of trust in society. Why is trust important? Political philosopher Hannah Arendt spelt out the consequences of this institutionalization of life. She said, if everybody always lies to you, the consequence is not that you believe the lies, but rather that nobody believes anything any longer. Think about this. Isn't that where we are today? And she continues, and a people that no longer believe anything cannot make up its mind. It is deprived, such people are deprived not only of the capacity to act, but also of the capacity to think or judge. And with such people, you can then do what you please. You can do whatever you want. Isn't this so beautifully, doesn't it describe our society today, how it is? Nobody believes anything. The ongoing confusion, for example, about COVID and vaccines is a case in point. Is COVID real? Are vaccines effective? Should we wear a mask or mandate masks and vaccines? It's like a war zone. And the truth, whatever it is hidden in the fog of passions. The same distrust applies to our attitude to climate change, to global warming and mass extinction, meaning us, issues which are critical to say the least. We don't know what or who to believe. And so we do nothing worthwhile or effective. Islam changes that and reboots our system to the truth and the reality of worshipping not our desires but our Creator Jalla Jalalu, remembering that one day we will answer to Him for all that we did or chose not to do. Allah sent us into this world to be custodians and to be trustees of what He created, not to be exploiters and parasites on what He created. We wait for that day, because on that day, we will not be asked what happened. We will be asked, what did you do? In conclusion, to recap, the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his ummah are 7. Adab wa ihtiram, our attitude of the utmost respect and honor. Itaat, to obey him without question. Ittiba, to follow and emulate him in every way. Muhabbat, to love him above all things and everyone else. About his Ahlul Bayt, to honor them and respect them over and above anyone else. Nusrat, to help him in every way, to help his deen and his message. And the last one, to accept his judgment in all matters without any resistance. The rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supersede the rights of all people, whoever they might be, and they are the first of the huququl ibad that we would be questioned about. That is why it is essential for us to learn what these rights are and to examine ourselves, our lifestyles and choices to ensure that we strive to fulfill them. I will suffice to say that to understand the true position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam and the scope of his authority, it is essential to understand this is essential to understanding Islam itself. This scope starts from the basic declaration of faith, in which if one does not accept him sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and final messenger of Allah, after whom there is no other, then one cannot enter Islam. When you study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you cannot help but love this remarkable person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to change the world, and who by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did precisely that in the short period of 23 years. Truly there is no comparable model in history of mankind, irrespective of time or place. In the words of Alphonse de Lamartine in his book called The History of Turkey, he said, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astonishing results, I repeat, Alphonse de Lamartine said, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astonishing results are the 3 criteria of human genius, who would dare compare any great man in history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Alphonse de Lamartine was not a friend of Islam and the Rasulullah. He was very critical of Islam, yet he said this. And that's why I say the praise of your enemies or the praise of your opponents is the most sincere of praise. It was the responsibility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to not simply talk about Islam, but to practice it and demonstrate its beauty by personal example. His ability to create demonstrable models of the Islamic way of life which clearly showed the beauty of the Islamic way, is what led to the spread of Islam in the world. It was his students, the Sahaba, who took these lessons which they learnt at his feet and spread them in the known world of the time. It is this responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from kufr and to fill our hearts with the love of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ensure that we do not die except in a state of submission to Islam, or a state of Islam as Muslims. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته